Jeremiah. You got Chicago.
There. Exactly. And that's just perfect combination for you.
It's a really good. I mean,
outnumbered. The Chicago people are outnumbering me here.
Yeah.
Oh, we're both from Chicago.
Yeah. So I was like on Menard, and then we moved to East Chicago, Indiana.
I know East Chicago because I take Highway 12 all the way through to Indianapolis Boulevard. Drive.
Yep.
Because when I go visit my people in Gary.
Oh, yeah. Through. Gary. What you was doing in Gary?
Hanging.
In the streets? Were you in the streets? Yeah, I did my research.
I boxed in Gary too, because I fought Chicago Park Districts growing up.
So you boxed?
We would go fight in Gary.
India.
He called himself a boxer.
Oh, it's a tough racket, man. I was not great, but I fought for a long time.
I was in the gym this morning. Yeah, I'm trying to get right.
Okay.
Looking for my first victim.
All right.
I'm not looking for any trouble. That's why I brought my knives.
Okay. That's so funny.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's get it. All right, you kick it off.
All right. What's good, Atlanta? You tuning to the JoJo the Big Homie Show. I am the baddest Boricua in the game, JoJo Alonzo.
And I'm your big homie Kodak. What's good?
And we have Joseph Sikora.
Nice.
That's right?
Yeah.
Sikora?
I mean, if you want to be super Polish about it, then you can say Sikora. It actually translates to titmouse in Polish.
Titmouse?
What is
titmouse
that?
Titmouse is a small bird.
We are learning things with Joseph Sikora today.
Titmouse.
Titmouse, yeah.
I thought he said titmouse too. Like, this is my kind of guy.
Hey, I know, because I'm thinking, I'm like.
If the shoe fits.
Hey, man.
I'm still thinking. Okay, so here at the JoJo and Big Homie Show, you know, we don't really do anything.
Traditional.
We have conversations, open conversations, and we have a good time. It's like we kicking it.
Like to kick it with the homies.
Yeah.
So can we introduce the first topic?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, cool. So our first topic is, what would the homies do, right? So let me set the scenario. All right, so say me, you, and her are all friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all mutual friends. But she snakes me. Do I need to tell you about it, or do you want to, or should you just find out on your own?
And that's a really tough one. These are the most difficult questions I've been asked this entire promo season. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
Might never snake you.
You gotta stick to what your gut tells you. 99% of the time, it's just best to mind your own business. But if that 1% of your time is hitting you right in the guts, then you gotta say, hey, look, this ain't right. But you tell the other person first. You tell her first. If she snaked you, or if she snaked me, just say she snaked me.
Yeah.
And you're like, yo, man, why'd you do that to Joseph? And then first if she's like, fuck him, then you'd be like, hey, hold up, man. We'll all get together. The three of us get together in person and be like, listen, we're going to air this out right now.
Yeah.
Squash this.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Like, first, I don't want to know your business. Like, I don't want to know what y'all got going on because they ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But I do want to know, like, if he snaked you, what capacity was it? Because if he go into your crib and he stole your money out your safe, and this somebody that I keep coming to the crib, I need to know that so I know, hold on, let me get this safe up out of here. Get
that's
this
never forgive
thief
action.
Up out of here.
Yeah, yeah. So, I feel the same way. And sometimes that stuff happens. Like, but I feel like if you do something to me, it's not my, like, I'm split on it because I don't want to, like, sound the alarm on you. But at the same time, it's like I don't want other people to, if we got a snake in the house, you know, you gotta get
if
the
it's
snake
that
out.
Big,
we
if they're stealing, the if they're stealing money, if they're taking stuff from the house, forget it. I'm with JoJo on that. You gotta.
That's different.
That snake has to have its head cut off.
Yeah, that's
any
different.
Kind of snake. I don't care what it is.
Nah, if but sometimes people are just mama. Like it's the difference between like being snaky and like sometimes people are just grimy and dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that if you got somebody that's grimy and they just do some like cutthroat stuff behind your back, you still would want to know, but it's not as different. That's not the same thing as like somebody stealing from you, like you have thief capabilities. So if you did this to me, you might do it to JoJo next. Like that's what I feel about.
That's another reason to keep your circle small.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a small circle?
Yes.
Yeah, as you should. I've realized that getting older, a lot of people who I call my friends, they ain't really my friends for real.
Yeah, it's like people don't forget about the word colleague a lot or acquaintance.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh no, that's my friend. Oh, but we're friends. It's like you're not friends. You know.
I
understand your vocabulary a little bit.
No, for
I
sure.
feel like the music and entertainment industry is even worse than that because people will call each other brother and sister. Like, oh yeah, that's my brother. I'm like, bro, y'all just met. Y'all just took a picture in the club.
Yo, what's up, family? It's like, hold on now.
You were puffing hookah together for like 2 minutes. Now that's your brother.
Yeah, exactly.
So, speaking of circles, You've been acting for a very long time, since you were 9.
Before you were born. When I was 10.
10?
You
were
10? Yep.
Okay, so the different roles that you were, you know, casted for, totally different from Tommy from Power.
Some. I mean, yeah, some were pretty similar, too. I would say Ginger and True Detective was semi-similar. I've had similar characters through time. I've played, you know, tough guys on stage, that's for sure. But Tommy's, you know, very rare does an actor get to live on television with a character for 8 years.
Yeah.
So we did 6.5 years on the Power show. Then there was a little bit of off time, and then I did the finale of the Ghost show, and then we were in pre-production for the Force show. So, you know, it's been a long time with Tommy, and I love that. I love this guy. You know, he's got a lot of faults, but he's got an incredible strong points, and I'm ready to go really deep with him for the Tommy spinoff to get into those inner workings and see what makes him tick.
Well, when you say deep, I feel like we didn't see Tommy. You saying it could go deeper. Tommy can go deeper than what has been.
Yeah, I think that because we've never seen him in this situation. I think that, you know, and I've said this a million times, so I'm sorry if your audience is getting a repeat, but, you know, I stayed the same way. Before we started the Power show, I was actually in the first scene that was ever filmed for the Power show. It was me and J.R. Ramirez, who played Julio, and Dominic Colon, who was the head of the Taínos, and we were in Woodside, Queens, when they were playing Domino's. Anyway, the point is that before we did that scene, for months before that, I made up the character of Tommy, and I stuck to those guns. And then the writer started writing for me. I made sure that Tommy was a 360-degree character. I made sure that he was funny, like, because it was in the first season, it was just physical humor. Like, Holly comes in, there was a gun. It's like, well, let me put this coat right over that. So, yeah. And then they start, and then you find the humor in the line, because otherwise it was just Tommy would just be a stone-cold killer, and they would do this. So I helped influence, I believe, the writers to expand the world of Tommy. So we saw him be pretty violent, but we also saw what he loved.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the big thing.
Tommy loved hard. Like, he had his relationships, yep. Holly, Lakeisha. So should we expect another relationship enforced?
I think that to respect Lakeisha, that you shouldn't necessarily expect that to happen super fast.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Tommy's got his animal instincts. Me and Big Homie, we bond over this.
Yeah, Sersky.
So, you know, it's got to, sometimes those have to get fulfilled. But I think that just in the respect of the character of Lakeisha, Tommy and Lakeisha, that really was the love of his life. And he was going to put a ring on it for a reason.
Yeah, he definitely loved hard. Okay, so I just got so many questions. How did you prepare yourself for the role of Tommy? You play that role so well. Like, you would think that meeting you would be like rough around the edges or standoffish, or but you're not. Like, you're charming.
Oh,
I mean, Tommy's charming too, but he can go there. Yeah. So how do you prepare yourself for that role?
Well, I mean, I based Tommy a lot on a lot of different things. Some was just guys I was scared of growing up, you know, and they're those guys who kind of have that silly humor where you're like, ha, 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 oh God, please don't do anything crazy. And then, you know, and then also, like, I took the character, the old the gangster, Dutch Schultz. And one of the things, I did a lot of research on him, but one of my favorite things was, man, and this was in the Power show, I was like, man, if Tommy ever dies, he should go out like Dutch Schultz. Like, he was in the crapper. He gets shot in the belly and the chest with a sawed-off shotgun. The guys leave. He pulls himself up, crawls to the table where he was, props himself up, takes a sip of beer, puts it back down, and dies. I was like, that's some balls right there. So, but, and then also, I based a lot of the character on 50 Cent, and 50 made himself really available. I asked him questions about Southside, and just, you know, if I had questions on moving some weight around and what that looked like and who this and this, that, and the other thing. And I listened to a million interviews of him on The Breakfast Club just to get a little bit of, like, a little bit of mannerisms and blah, blah, blah. So it was fun. And then a lot of, like, the dialect of Tommy, considering I lived in New York for 20 years, I should be fine doing that. But it was also a lot based on the movie. It's a documentary called Style Wars. So Tommy sometimes ends up sounding a little bit like the Bronx, but so many of these graffiti writers are from the Bronx that a lot of the imitations, like, I've even improvised some, I've stolen lines from, like, Scene and Dez that was like, it wasn't really, never really, you know, and, like, it's just one of the, some of those isms kind of got brought in. So I did that homework and stuck to it, and I never changed on that character. The writers just started writing different situations for him.
Okay, is it true that you actually spent some time in where 50 Cent is from?
Oh, yeah. Fifth took us around to Southside Jamaica, and then I went back, and Omari and I both went back just to get a, you know, just to get some of the playgrounds and some of the streets and the corners and restaurants. And so when we were talking about these things, I would actually know, like, you can make it up and you can pretend, but there's something kind of special when you know where you're talking about, where you know where that corner is, you know, and you just kind of, you soak it up a little bit. And so it was fun. If you got the time, you know, may as well go make it more complex.
Yeah.
Yeah. So about a week ago, one of your co-stars, Michael Rainey, made a post on Instagram about the status of Ghost and people still not thinking that he is dead. What do you have to say for people that think like he might make a comeback?
Maybe he will. I mean, this is
that's a possibility.
Why not? The fourth show just started, and I seen Kanan, and even if he is dead, maybe he comes back.
Yeah, I was gonna say that
just
too.
The last season, the last one of Ghost, we saw Proctor and Lakeisha and Ray Ray.
Yeah,
and
all
Kanan.
Of them.
Come on,
yeah,
so it's like, you know, that's a possibility, and maybe he faked his own death. I mean, we never saw the body,
multiverse power.
And he was incredibly astute.
I said the same thing too, but don't be getting us all gassed up now.
Nah, he getting us. You heard what he said. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't be getting us gassed up, because
you could also think of it like this, that Tommy and Ghost were two sides of the same coin, just like Ghost says. So if Tommy's alive, part of Ghost is alive in Tommy. So, I've never seen anybody or heard of anybody getting shot in the chest and then falling two stories onto their back and surviving. However, I don't write the show, so, you know.
It could go either way, but like I said, don't be getting me all gassed up. Okay, so... Force. Let's talk about that. So it airs at midnight.
One, because the Ghost show is at midnight.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Are you guys doing like a back to back type of thing?
I think so, but I think it won't be until like 1:15. I think the Ghost show goes long for the finale, but I mean, don't quote me on that. But yeah.
So your chapter is actually, or this season is the last of them all.
That's what 50 put.
Yeah. So we know. Why do you think that is?
I think that they'll expand from here. I think that other characters in this universe as we have it now will become satellites from here. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if four seasons down the road, maybe five seasons down the road, Chris Lofton takes over this show. You never know. Or some such like that. You never know what direction it's going to go. But as of right now, the world is set at this, because I think it's going to expand from within. I don't think anybody else from the Power show is going to be going on, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not the boss. 50 is.
Yeah. So what should we expect? I'm super excited. I just want to say that.
I'm excited too.
you are one of the top characters in just Power in general. Like,
there weren't that many, so thanks for
Nessie. Yes. What do you mean? Like, everybody always go between
me, Omari, Naturi, and Leela. But
nah,
I was one of four. Okay. You were one of the four best leads in the Power show. I'll take it.
If
thanks,
not
JoJo.
The best, because I'm saying.
We got to be real. He's top two.
It just depends on who's saying.
I think it's Omari and Naturi. Those were the top two by far.
I'm speaking
nobody
as
can
just
touch
favorite.
We telling you what the homies are saying.
Characters.
For you guys, they were the best. I mean, the streets think Tommy was the best by Head and Shoulders, because he didn't rat on nobody.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
know what I mean? I don't know. I don't want to speak for Atlanta.
Atlanta likes
I'm
Tommy.
Atlanta. What?
Likes.
Yeah.
Atlanta likes Tommy. They give him a C+.
Well, nah. See, this is the thing. Atlanta is full of black people, okay? And we have accepted you into the
culture.
into the culture and the community.
Well, the culture and the community, to speak on that, made Tommy. I mean, if it was not for black people, this Tommy character, I wouldn't be sitting here right now at all. So
that's love.
And when people say to me, oh, do you mind when people call you Tommy? I said, nope, because that means they're claiming me, and that's giving a blessing, and I don't think that's not given out freely, and black people call BS pretty fast.
Yeah.
So they said, no, we like, you know, Tommy, this is true. We'll take it. And so that, to me, that's better than any award I could ever win, JoJo.
I feel that. That's what's up.
So, speaking of the culture, right? So you just made a huge cameo in this new Nicki Minaj video.
Oh, my God. I had so much fun. This guy was there with me.
How did this come about?
I don't want to. This is what I know to be. I think Nicki was kind of going around, hey, you know, this actor, this actor, this actor, this actor. But she was talking to my friend, Deion Taylor, the great Deion Taylor, who directed The Intruder with Michael Ealy and Megan Good and Dennis Quaid and myself. And then Dion also directed our finale for the fourth show, and it's amazing. Episode 10, where do you guys see this? I'm so proud of it. Anyway, she's like naming some actors, and then she gets to me. She's like, you know, and the guy who plays Tommy on Power, and he's like, wait, just stop right there. That's my guy. Like, let's call him right now.
Yeah,
that's enough. You don't have to think of nobody else. And he called me up. I said, man, I'd love to, because Nikki, man, you know, she's fantastic.
You're
and
you're a Nikki fan?
How can you not be, man? She's got to be in your top 5.
The Barbs
five
are about to claim you now. The Barbs are about to definitely
no
claim
facts.
You now.
Nah, man. Listen, also, she's good with the boss, and she's Southside. So, you know.
Yeah.
That too.
Give love. But I thought it was fun, man. Did you guys enjoy the video?
We definitely enjoyed the video. It was very cinematic. Very cinematic.
Yeah,
I like the shots.
Same.
Yeah. So.
And Lil Baby, man, he not only did he throw down on it, but I love that. Meeting him.
You're in Atlanta, so you got to be a Lil Baby fan.
Oh, man, I am. If I was before, I'm 5 times as much now after meeting him. He's such a great guy.
Okay, well, since we're on that topic, what music gets, like, so, okay, of course we know the Tommy is the biggest role thus far, but what music gets you in Tommy mode? Like, what's on your playlist?
It depends. You know, I usually picked out a song per episode of the Power Show, or, you know, and I often do it even for Frank Jr., Frank Cosgrove Jr. on Ozark. I had, like, a song sometimes that would, you know, sometimes I try to expand the world, but I kept a lot of Tommy to my favorites. So there would be a lot of Eric B. and Rakim in the mix. There's a little bit of J. Rue the Damager, a little bit of, like, you know, then some kind of fun, funky stuff like, you know, Diggable Planets. But not only that, but like the Motown stuff that I love. I love Sam Cooke, another Chicagoan shout out. So it depends on what mood I was in. But I did, yeah, I definitely used music as inspiration for per episode and to kind of get in the zone.
So I keep asking the same question because we ain't really getting to it because we just vibing so hard. So what should we expect from Force?
You know, Power Book 4 is an interesting one because every other show takes place in New York. So to actually make the Power World into the Power Universe, somebody had to leave. Just like there had to be a martyr for the series, for it to expand into the Power Universe, that martyr had to be, you know, Ghost had to be, is basically the sacrificial lamb to expand that. And I think that just rings true historically, that when the leader of something dies, then the movement actually comes alive. Mm-hmm. And so we can expect a different city, same Tommy. But it's an empty Tommy. And so it's Tommy who's learned all of these lessons. It's the two parts Ghost, two parts Kanan. So he'll bop every block if he needs to, but he's also thinking now because he has to. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a lot of the same stuff, but with a totally different backdrop, because Chicago looks like it should be Queens, but it's not Queens. And if Tommy tries to treat it like that, that could ultimately be his downfall. But real quick, I got to say that what I'm most excited about is this cast.
Okay.
Isaac Keys as Diamond, Chris Lofton as Jannard. Unbelievable. The brother dynamic there, I love watching these guys on screen. Tommy Flanagan is a legend who plays Walter Flynn. He's amazing. His two kids are played by Shane Harper and Lily Simmons. They're amazing. And then also the unbelievably gorgeous and talented, she's as beautiful inside as she is out, Gabrielle Ryan, who plays Gloria Rogers, has a lot of little historical tricks up her sleeve. And then you guys saw J.P. Gibbs, who's Chicago's own homegrown Anthony Fleming III, who's got that beautiful, deep voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. And then we have a lot of Chicago talent that comes to play with us, too. So people are not going to be disappointed. The acting wins every time in my show.
Yeah. There ain't no way I was gonna be disappointed either. So is it shot in Chicago?
All shot, all in Chicago.
How is that? You're from Chicago, how does that feel? You know, going back, starting in New York, this major role, and now you're back in Chicago with like your own spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that feel?
Probably similar to when you go back home, JoJo. It's like, you know, you're coming back home, you did good, the kid did good, and you come back home, you got a lot of love. I mean, because Chicago could be a hating ass city.
No,
that's
why I'm here. That's why I'm in Atlanta.
And, you know, I get a little bit of flack every now and again, because I lived in New York almost as long as I lived in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised on the far northwest side in Jefferson Park and Norwood Park area, so around Taft High School. So far out there, but I still go back for my pizza joint at Milwaukee and Austin.
Phil's Pizza joint?
Phil's Pizza Doro on Milwaukee and Austin. Tell Sal I sent you.
I am.
He'll hook it up. But then also, you know, I was a graffiti writer since I was 11 years old. So I got to know all of the city. And then, like I was saying, I was an amateur boxer at Park District. So mm-hmm. you go all over the city as well for that. So what I did, though, is I went home a month early to relearn Chicago. Because Chicago changes. It's really true. Mark Twain, I think, said, you know, you can never go home again there to Chicago. It changes too fast, and it really does. And I thought it was responsible of me to get, again, to get that history behind my eyes. Mm-hmm. For so when my head was on a swivel as Tommy, as Joseph, I was relearning the city just as Tommy was learning the city. So I wanted to talk to every cop and every robber I could and ask them the same question. How would Tommy survive Chicago? Because they shoot first and they ask questions later.
I got a couple people you can hit up and ask.
Oh, yeah.
And she one of them.
Yeah, some of my people from Chicago will be showing up at the club tonight. A lot of Chicagoans moved down here.
Yeah, that's what's
so,
up.
You know, but I think that we painted it in broad strokes this first season. Chicago is definitely not New York. Mm-hmm. But we painted the broad differences, and I think that when we get a second season, I think that we'll get into the fine tuning, the minutiae, the inner mm-hmm. workings of the city that works, the gem of the prairie, the hog butcher to the world, the city of big shoulders. We're gonna get with it,
yeah.
But, and we're gonna show them something else. I'm really excited. I can't wait for you guys to see
it. I'm so excited. I ain't even gonna lie.
Before we end it, I had a question. So of course, you know, Chicago love and everything. Are you you're a Bears fan?
Yeah. I wish they would get Leslie Frazier from the Bills to take over that head coach position.
For sure. Definitely.
I feel that too.
Definitely think Leslie Frazier would have been a
Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Rams, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely going for the Rams. I don't think Joe Burrow stands a chance against that defense. They got Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller. Those are world eaters on defense.
But they say Burrow's can dribble a bowling ball, man. They say he's a special guy.
We gonna see. But you heard about the guy from Texas that put like 4.5 on the Bengals?
No.
Yeah, there's a guy called Mattress Mac in Texas.
Call Gary Owen, my brother. Gary Owen put 4.5 million on the Bengals.
No, it wasn't him. It was a guy called Mattress Mac. He put 4.5 on the Bengals.
I'm like, yo, this.
I think that was smart. You know, if the Rams win, I'm just gonna think it was a conspiracy anyway.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think.
But do you have faith in Justin Fields? Like, what do you think the Bears are gonna do next year?
I mean, hopefully better than this year. But everybody thought they were gonna be good this year, or at least have a better record. I think that people are putting a lot of faith in Fields. I don't know. I'm hopeful. I remain everly hopeful.
Yeah. I agree.
So do I.
We don't have hope. We don't.
I'm a Cowboys fan, and we got all the hope.
Yeah, Cowboys fans. They've never left us since the '80s. They were.
Hey, relax. We got all the hope.
And every year, it's like, get out of here.
Ooh, we not gonna talk about the Cowboys. Oh, here we go. Turn the mic. Oh, okay.
Oh man.
But no, we appreciate you coming up here and hanging out with us.
It's good to hang with you guys, man.
We really do appreciate it. All right, so we just gonna wrap this up. This is the JoJo and the Big Homie Show on iHeart 105.3 The Beat.
And then you just got to play the theme song on the way out.
It's going to play the whole time.